a week-long event examining racism will bring together respected guests from around Australia and the US who will share their insights and knowledge in a series of panel discussions and workshops. Naming and Addressing Racism will kick off on Thursday, May 17, and include a screening of John Pilger's documentary Utopia. Chordo Sansbury is a Noongar elder who was born at Point Pierce on the York Peninsula and has been advocating and working for Aboriginal people in areas of Aboriginal disadvantage for more than 30 years. Chordo discusses next month's event and the satisfaction he gains from his work with people and organisations as an Aboriginal cultural consultant.
I enjoy what I do. I get to meet a lot of different people. People with, you know, good heart and very passionate about what they do. And I think if we don't have that, we're not going to move forward. I was, for 10 years, the National Chairperson of the Royal Commission into Aboriginal Death in Custody, monitoring the recommendations at a state and national level, and worked at Aboriginal Legal Rights for a number of years. I'm now an Aboriginal consultant, and I do many consultations around South Australia and presentations, and I provide a lot of information and support from people that can't get it from organisations or state or federal government. So I act a lot as an advocate, a lobbyist, if you want to call it, many of those things that are important to be done.
In terms of your consultancy work, what kinds of organisations and communities do you work with?
Recently I've been doing the medical staff, royal doctors, and I most probably will be doing and working with the SA Ambulance Service in the very near future, and there's the possibility of the flying doctors for South Australia. And I've done presentations for courts authorities, juvenile justice, and also schools now.
I'm guessing the kind of advice and insights you provide vary depending on who you're presenting to and working with, but what kinds of information do you provide to people who might seek your advice?
I provide information on the understanding of where Aboriginal people sit at this current moment in Australia and the impact of colonisation or invasion, if you want to call it that, and, you know, the impact that it has had, you know, and the transgenerational trauma that Aboriginal people are suffering from, and also talk about what's happening now with DCP, child protection, and the removal of Aboriginal people and the high number of Aboriginal kids being removed. You know, and when you consider we only make up around 3% of the total population, yet some of these percentages of what's happening to us as Aboriginal people are so far out of whack that I just don't understand why this is happening. So I talk about all of those things, and one of the things that I do is I do a presentation about what has happened to Aboriginal people, but I do it in the sense that this is not a finger-pointing exercise at the people that are in the forum at this present moment that I'm working with. It's getting you to understand that, you know, there is a major gap and a difference between you and us, and we need to understand the difference, and we need to come to understand that a lot of people talk about reconciliation, but they don't practice it. They preach it, but they don't practice it, and we need to do things different.
The people that you work with talking about these issues, how do they find the process of discussing this stuff? Perhaps they haven't even considered this stuff from that kind of perspective before.
Well, it's not that they haven't considered it, it's that they haven't known about it. And, you know, it hasn't been in your curriculum growing up in schools, from primary to high school to university, and many people don't understand what I'm presenting because they just don't believe that something like this has occurred in Australia because it's such a fine place to live in. You know, they don't understand the massacres that have occurred, or we call them the frontier wars that have occurred around Australia, where many Aboriginal people have been killed, and also the deliberate murder of Aboriginal people from, you know, developing things, or things that many of us used to call goodbye damper, where they used to poison the damper and feed it to Aboriginal people and die, and the deliberate impact of our smallpox being brought into our communities that have killed many of us. So a lot of non-Aboriginal people don't understand that. And one of the things that I do before we do a presentation is I give them 5 questions and to see if they can answer those 5 questions. I tell them that it's not a pass or fail test, it's just me understanding exactly how much you know. And many of them don't know much. And at the end of the At the end of the session, what we do, they're quite amazed about many things that they don't know about. And they also provide us a written feedback. Sometimes we get a little response like, you know, it happened 250 years ago, build a bridge and get over it. Yeah? But that's simple to say, but they don't sign who wrote it. And, you know, it's always going to be there. You're not going to convince every Pauline Hanson in this country.
And for the people who do have a bit of a light bulb moment, is it nice for you to see that they're starting to switch on about this stuff?
It is, because I get callbacks from a lot of them, and they, you know, and I leave my card with them, and we talk, and I tell them, you know, if I can help you out after this, please give us a call, and we'll do that, you know, and follow on from this. Three times a year I do presentations or lectures down at Flinders University, and that's an amazing event, because sometimes I'm talking to about 250, 300 students from different parts of Australia and the world, and they find the things that I talk about and present quite amazing, because I got feedback once from one student and said, I've been at Flinders for the last 6 months and I learned more about Aboriginal people in the first hour and a half listening to Torto Sansbury than anything else. So, I mean, that makes me feel good when I get feedback like that.
You've got a great event coming up, a week-long event, Naming and Addressing Racism. You've got some friends coming along from around Australia. It's been a while since we've had a forum like this. What are you looking forward to with this event?
Well, raising the important issue that racism is alive and well in Australia. Australia looks really, really great when you're flying over the top of it, but when you get down to the nitty-gritty, racism is here, and it's important to discuss. And this happened after I'd done a cultural awareness training program at Aboriginal Family Support Services, and I was invited to do another one at the Adelaide University, and Lisa, who's a professor there, said, Torto, would you like to do a program with us? And I went over in there and done a presentation to them, and then all of a sudden the racism discussion came up. So Lisa, Jackie, myself, my partner Grace, and a couple other people had a meeting, and I said, well, I'll invite some of my friends from around Australia to come and join us. And I invited Jeff McMullen from Sydney, Jerry Georgiadis from Western Australia, Robert Egnington from Western Australia, and Rosalie Kernoff Monk from the Northern Territory. And then on top of that, we've got Dr. Benjamin Reese coming from Duke University out of America, an African American who's going to talk about racism. So I think it's going to be a fantastic event. It's going to be held at the Wine Centre, the National Wine Centre. And the first session, the first opening of it, is going to be the showing of Utopia. And then the presentations by the four speakers, or five speakers, because I'm going to be the facilitator of it. I won't be presenting anything. And then we're going to have a Q&A after that. So I think it's going to be a fantastic event. Before, when I done this, I done it with a program called How Would You Like to Be Me? Out of the AUK Centre in Adelaide, and we've got something around 250, 300 people. So we've got capacity for 500 people at the Wine Centre, so I'm hoping that we'll fill that up.
And importantly, discussing racism from different perspectives and different experiences.
Well, that's right, and getting people to understand what white privilege really means in Australia. There are a lot of people and a lot of non-Aboriginal people that are mixed up about white privilege. And you know, as Corey Bernardi said, you know, white privilege is about working hard. White privilege is about you're a member of the dominant society, and that's where white privilege fits, and this is what we've got to understand and how it impacts on, you know, Aboriginal people. So for me, I think it's going to be a good discussion, and I think it's going to raise a lot of questions and a lot of eyebrows, and it needs to be out there and it needs to be discussed.
You've been doing a lot of work in the community for more than 30 years. How has naming and addressing racism changed over the years? Has it changed at all?
No, it hasn't. It's just that when I started back in the 70s, a discussion like this would never happen back in the 70s or 80s. Yeah, it would never have come up, because it would have been too confronting, and it would have been, for many people, a little bit scary. But I think today is the right time for this to happen, because it needs to happen, because we've got many young Aboriginal children that are losing their Aboriginality and their identity because of many things, as, you know, white privilege, and because of this racist attack from politicians to say that Aboriginal people receive more than the non-Aboriginal population. So I think it's the right time and the right place to do it, and I think this might break the ground for not just Adelaide but the rest of Australia, and I hope it does.
As you say, in the 70s and 80s, discussions like this wouldn't have happened in the open like they are now. It seems like there is a knowing that racism exists, but there's still a roadblock somehow in conversations about it. People don't want to talk about it. They say, oh, we know it exists, yeah. And then that's it.
And they do, and, you know, because it's something that they don't want to deal with, because sometimes racism is a benefit to the people that are in control of it. And the people that not are in control of it, like many Aboriginal people, that's where a lot of lateral violence then comes into our community, is that lateral violence from our own community attacking people like myself is because they can't get to the dominant society or the people that are making these rules and regulations that affect all of us down below. So, yeah, I like it. I honestly do. You know, I can actually sit down with anybody now, you know, it doesn't matter how racist they are, and talk about, well, you know, a few years ago I wouldn't have done it. But I think as I got older, I think I've got a little bit smarter. And when you're a young person, you start off very naive. And then as you get older, you know, like next year I turn 70, so I think I'm a little bit smarter and I know what I'm doing at this present moment. And on top of that, I've got good people who's coming in, flying in from around Australia to confirm what I've been saying also. And Dr. Benjamin Rees, maybe something else like this will happen not too far off in the near future.
It always amazes me when I chat with people in community about things that may be covered in the media, perhaps very racistly. And while I'll get very upset about it, they'll be upset, but they have a sense of strength and calm about the situation. Do you think you've developed that sense of calm when it comes to certain issues?
Well, I have. You know, when you read, like Pauline Anderson said, she's Indigenous to this country because she's born here. I mean, that's, you know, that's total ignorance and the lack of understanding. So, yeah, I am calm to a lot of these things. And when I read some of the feedback that I get, and it's not like it used to be, because a lot of people that I'm talking to, and I find it amazing that a lot of people that I'm talking to are much younger. And I know that these younger people are going to go in with different ideas, because all of the old, hard-nosed, rednecks, pointed-headed people are dying off. And once they're dead, you know, a lot of that goes with them. And a lot of the young people that I'm talking to are finding different ideas and understanding that, you know, something has happened in Australia, so we need to find out more. And I like doing it because I like to sort of not just be a consultant, but I like to be thinking of myself as a bit of an educator.
In terms of the people who are coming to the event, who are you inviting to come along to the event?
Well, we're inviting some politicians, and we're inviting, you know, send an invitation to the new Premier, Stephen Marshall. We're going to send an invitation to the Minister for Child Protection, so they get a bit of an understanding. Also to Kaya Ma, who was our Minister for Aboriginal Affairs in the Labor Party, because I think he tried to do a lot of good things, so we're going to keep him in the loop. And I most probably Malinauskas, the new leader of the Labor Party. So get them to get an understanding of why this is happening. It shouldn't be confronting, it should be a learning exercise for both sides, and a sort of a barrier breaker to sit down and understand that, you know, Australia in 1836, in Adelaide in 1836, if you would have done the right thing by us, our lives would be different. But you failed to introduce and implement the letters patent. So this is why we're in this situation at this present moment. So let's talk about it.
Some other people who are able to come along are academics and students and those in the health profession. Why do you think it's important that people in these spaces come along and have a listen?
Because they've educated themselves on white documents and white education, and not understanding what's sitting on the outside. A lot of non-Aboriginal people get PhDs and everything from studying Aboriginal people, and they move forward and they leave those people behind all the time. So they become the experts and the Aboriginal person becomes the tack on. So this is about them understanding the place where we all sit. And I talk about the decolonising of the colonies, where many things should come back to Aboriginal people and start to break down the barrier. And I love Australia. I think Australia is a great place, but we have a problem at this present moment. And if I could be a part of a little bit of changing before I pass on into my next life, I've left a legacy.
And I think that's so true about the students and academics. They'll study Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people as a subject and then move on. And they may not perhaps have genuine conversations and relationships with these people.
Yeah. And I worked with a good Aboriginal person and what's his name and all that. And this is the way that a lot of people, they don't become their friends. Well, that's Torres Strait, my friend. Sorry, I'm not your friend, I'm an acquaintance. A friend goes to your place and have tea with you or coffee or dinner or goes out with you and your family. And this is what people have got to understand, But I like talking to academics because I take notice of not just what's happening in Adelaide and South Australia, but what's happening in the world. I actually sat up till the early hours of the morning watch the French elections. And some people ask me after, why did you watch that? I said, look, I watched that because that would have an impact on us if Marie Le Pen had got in. Because Marie Le Pen is of the same caliber as Donald Trump and of the same caliber of Corey Bernardi and also Hanson, Pauline Hanson. So the impact of racism at a global level would hit us eventually. So I watched it and I was absolutely glad when she lost. And I said, we didn't think of it that way. Well, I do. Because I like to know what's coming. And if you don't know what's coming, like there's a saying in Aboriginal community, if you don't know where you come from, you're not going to know where you're going. And this is what I understand. I take in a lot of notice about, And I was sitting down reading a book one day and I was reading this book, this old Indian man in Montana, and he made this quote that they were talking about politics, and he said, the left wing and the right wing both belong to one bird. And that's what I talk about when we talk about politics. The left wing and the right wing, it's just one bird. They're just a little bit different. So I like to take notice and I like to understand the world that I'm living in at the present moment. I think it's good to do that. If you don't, I couldn't stand up and talk to a group of people about many things, as I do now.
Torres Strait Islander Noongar Elder from the York Peninsula.